A good question was asked about the help booklets that I did not talk about. So the help booklets are back there for you guys to take home for a month. If you want to keep the booklet, then I think they're $4.95. You can write a check or just bring it next time with you or whatever, it's fine. But they're designed, so if you just take one and then, you know, read it during the month, and then next month when you come back, you just put that one back and grab another one. So you can do that as well. But if there's one that you just know, man, I really need this for a situation going on right now or whatever, feel free. They're available to you to get. So I want to share a few minutes about, it's more testimonial, and I asked Pastor Chuck if he would also share. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, why did you go to this route? And for me, in 2008, I was forced to resign from our church, and it was humiliating, you know? It was stuff because of my daughter, wasn't Sherry and I, or, you know, nothing like that. But and I really sunk into a real deep depression. And I'd never experienced that before. They talk about that downward spiral and literally weeping all day, every day. And somebody told me about, so you had to find a nuthetic counselor. Of course, I had no idea what that meant. And so I looked, but within 75 miles, there was no nuthetic counselor. And I thought, well, what do I do now, you know? And so at Faith Church in Lafayette, they were having a biblical counseling training conference. I went to Faith Church for biblical counseling training, not because I ever thought that I'd be here, okay? Not because I ever thought that somebody's gonna sit across from me and I'm gonna counsel them. I went and got trained because I needed it, okay? For me, it was life-changing. I mean, it was absolutely life-changing. As I was telling people, you know, I got back and I'm telling people about what I'd learned and all this other stuff, and they were fascinated. Well, can you counsel me? I'm thinking, no, you know. Even though at the end of the training in Lafayette, the first thing they say is like, where do we go from here? And the first thing he said was, start counseling. Okay, you've just been fed 30 plus hours of information. Now go apply it. That was pretty intimidating, but I'm like, okay, you know. So I started counseling people. Then I ended up getting certified. And the process of certification, honestly, I think is the best part of all of this. This is, you guys are going to, hopefully you say this is good, right? You're going to come out of this going, wow, this was really good. The exams are so helpful to know this is what I believe. And I'm able to articulate what I believe. The counseling side is, wow, this is how hurting people get to being hurting people. It helps you so much in saying, you know, one of the things we say here all the time is, I do what I do because I want what I want, right? Well, how do I change my wants so that I only want what God wants, right? And so we started working through that. And so I started coaching people and counseling people and then got certified. And so I had a business of counseling, and the going rate, I think it's like $150 an hour or something like that. That's pretty good money. I hated charging people. Like, I am not a good businessman. Like, free don't pay no bills at all. And then I came down here, was invited to come down here to pastor this church of 20-something people. Most of them were my children. Yeah, I mean, we had four families and 20-something people. So, I mean, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8 adults. And the rest of them are kids. And that's how we started. Is we started doing our Marriage by Design conference. Right? Well, what's Marriage by Design? Group counseling. That's all it is. It's part of our counseling ministry. Parenting by Design. What's that? Group counseling. Right? We started meeting with people one-on-one from there. And the next thing you know, like, God's growing our church through the counseling ministry. Never planned it like that. It's just the only thing we knew how to do. right? So I don't think any I don't think there's any church planting. Maybe Chuck knows better, but I don't think there's any church planting organization that says this is how you do it. We didn't do it that way. We did it this way, you know. And so I was doing a lot of work in previously in Ukraine and in China and South Africa, and so I was going over there still, and they were saying, I was telling them, oh, I'm just learning this biblical counseling stuff, and they were going, oh, well, teach us. Okay. And so every time, but I'd go and teach, and then I'd come back, you know, say 6 months later, a year later, and they would say, teach us. And I'd think, well, I taught you a year ago. Well, teach us again. And I realized, wow, I'm really failing in this, in that I'm giving good information, but it's not being applied. And so I was at a conference, and I heard a guy named Wayne Vanderweer speaking, and he's the leader of OIC, and he was talking about going overseas and training these people. And so afterwards, I waited. There was a ton of people wanted to talk to him, and I thought, I'm waiting everybody out. And finally, I just said, Wayne, listen, I need the material that you have, because I feel like I'm reinventing the wheel every time I go to these countries, and they're not applying it. So he asked me more information. Then he says, I thought it was an interesting change in the conversation. He said, well, our conversation has now changed. I said, in what way? He said, I'm no longer listening to you about your trips overseas. I'm now recruiting you to go with us overseas. And I thought, okay, you know, what does it take? So we started there. And I'll tell you, when I was in South Africa in March, teaching with a guy named Sebrand de Swart, right? It's Wayne Mack's son-in-law, for those who know Wayne Mack. Wow, fascinating. Teaching the same stuff I'm teaching this morning, but just listening to another voice, another experience. It was just fascinating for me to hear. For me, it helped. It made me a better husband, better dad, right? Better pastor, better friend. It completely changed my life, especially when I started to understand that I do what I do because I want what I want, right? Chuck, can you share, maybe for a few minutes, you're welcome to come up here, kind of about your story, because I'd love to hear it as well. I actually just kind of officially met Chuck this morning, so.
Never asked a pastor to speak. God orchestrated my wife and I to Faith Church in Lafayette, Indiana in 2002. And it was funny because when we first, I was working for Purdue University. That's who I worked for when I retired from secular work and not the ministry. But my wife and I visited a number of churches in Lafayette, Indiana. We visited a couple, and they were good churches, good solid doctrinal churches, and we went to Faith Church. And our first visit was Sunday night in February. I know he's laughing. And I said to my wife, I said, look at all these people. The place was packed. Cars in the parking lot, some were out in the streets parking. And I said, man, this church, I've never been in a church this large before. So it was intimidating to me a little bit. And we didn't have a lanyard on. We just came to visit the church. And so this man in the church, a church member, walked up to us and said, I see you're not here for the conference. And I said, what conference? I said, no, we're not. We're just visiting the church. And he said, I'll tell you what. Come in and listen to everything that we have here. And can my wife and I take you out for dinner after this? He didn't know me from Adam. I said, sure. And so we got to talk to him a little bit, but that's how we came to Faith Church. You know, I said, to my wife, I said, honey, Diana is her name. Charles and Diana. You can relate to that, right? So my wife, Diana, I looked at her and I said, honey, we have a few more churches to visit. You know what she said to me? She said, Chuck, let's keep going here until God takes us away from here. And God never took us away from there. So we became members, and we realized just after a year of being a member there, my gosh, the things that I had learned. And look, I got saved and trusted Christ as my Savior in November 1978. I've been saved for a few years. And we went there in 2002. And I was learning things I had never been taught before. Why? Because biblical counseling is centric to every ministry and every preaching message and everything they do at that church. If they're involved in a ministry, biblical counseling is behind it. And if they're not involved in the ministry, it's because biblical counseling isn't behind it, right? So every ministry they have is community outreach focused with biblical counseling as the center of it. Now, we were there for a number of years. I'm going to get to finish my first paragraph here. But I just wanted to share that with you. So we began finding out that they were a biblical counseling training center, and not just a training center, one of the biggest that ACBC had and still has. And it forever changed our life. My wife, you're going to like this. She was the first one that God set a fire in her heart, right? She was the first one that went to biblical counseling training. And I said, well, I'm not sure if I want to go to that or not. So a year and a half after she started, I said, okay, I'll take a vacation this summer, and we'll go to biblical counseling training, and I'll take a vacation, and I'll give it a chance. And so after that summer, God lit a fire in my heart, and that fire is ever strong as it was back then. You know, I knew when I took that training, and I'm going to share this with you because I wrote it down. It's important that you know this. I knew, and my wife knew, that we needed to learn how to help people from the scriptures. And I can tell you, when I started studying biblical counseling, God lit a fire in my heart, and that fire has never gone away. And I praise Him for that. One of the first things that changed my life and ministry was that I was able to understand a few things for the first time. I was able to understand that I had wrong thinking about events and circumstances in my life and in my family's lives that we were experiencing. I had wrong biblical thinking in those areas, and I know you can relate to that. I began to realize that there was not one event, one circumstance in my life that God was not sovereign over and in full control of. I didn't know that before I went to that conference. Oh, I knew it from reading the scriptures and teaching the scriptures from a surface level, but I didn't know it from my heart level. There's a world of difference. And what you are going to experience here is God's way of changing biblically from the inside out. Now, I know we're going to talk about this a little bit later. You know, psychology deals with behavioral issues. It treats the behavior. Well, what God's Word does is get to the idols of the behavior in the heart, so that behavior on the outside can change from the inside out for full biblical change, right? And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, when I heard this, you mean every issue that I experience in my life comes from my heart? Who I am on the inside? Who I really am, right? And that's never hidden from God, is it? No. So what the Word of God does through the Holy Spirit is take the issues of life, address them biblically, so the behavior changes from that. Oh, now you're talking about real behavioral change, not a temporary Band-Aid. Not a temporary Band-Aid. So I began looking at verses like 1 Corinthians 10:13, Romans 8, 28 and 29, and I could go on, and others, that every event and circumstance that the Lord permits, that the Lord decrees, or that the Lord allows in my life is for my good. That means my spiritual growth, right? And that spiritual growth brings God glory.
Amen.
That's why we have circumstances, issues, and trials in our life. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
And you're going to learn in biblical counseling. And I didn't learn it until I started studying it in 2005 or 6. That it's God. As believers, God is in control of our lives. Now, we cause, because of our sin nature, certain things to come that bring in circumstances and life issues, right? But look, God is even in control of that. Remember, He allows it, permits it, or decrees it in our lives at all times to conform us to the image of Christ. That is biblical sanctification. That is Romans 8, 29. We were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ, right? So I realized how I had never been taught how to apply the truths and principles of God's Word in my life. Now, I'm not going to go through all of this, but my wife, Diana, was certified before me. She started training before I did. So praise God. Hopefully, when we come next month, God willing, and if a rapture occurs, we'll just sing hallelujahs in heaven, right? We won't be here next month if the rapture occurs. But if it doesn't, I want to bring my wife so you can meet her next month. So she's a very godly woman, and I just can't tell. I mean, to know, maybe there's two ACBC certified counselors right now, but there's going to be more. There's going to be more. There's four of us. Look, in Central Florida, I don't count Ocala, Central Florida, but in the Orlando area, within 30 miles, right? That's a big area. There are five ACBC biblical counselors. And in the church that I help pastor, four of us are in that church. So, look, there is a great need for ACBC certified biblical counselors in Florida. I can tell you, I teach biblical counseling. I teach training. I train people and pastors in biblical counseling. And Diana helps me with all of that. She doesn't do the training, but she helps me with preparing all of that. She trains the ladies. But there's not enough of us. And there is a great need. Even in our counseling, Diane and I both still do counseling. We're very busy. This is kind of a lull period for me right now. I think I only have two. Diana has three right now. So, you know, my pastor's a church. He knows the time involved in all of that, preparing teaching and preaching messages. It takes time to do it right. But then we're biblical counseling. We're training. We have a biblical counseling training conference August 26th and 27th in Claremont. You all are welcome to come. There is a $40 per person charge for that, or I think $60 per couple. But these are not, what we're training is ACBC materials, not OIC. Because I am an OIC member, so is my wife, but learning OIC materials to be able to teach them. It takes time to teach other materials that you're not familiar with. And so I'm learning, and that's why I'm here viewing today. And next month I'll be teaching one of the, two of the modules. But in ending, I just want to say that biblical counseling, you know, like Mike said, it has changed my life, it changed my family's life, has changed my wife's life. You wouldn't believe, I mean, the relationship, the marriage relationship that my wife and I have is very, very close. And I'm so thankful for that. And what we need today, not only churches that teach and preach 100% biblical truth and no fluff, you know what I mean by that?
Amen.
You can go to Claremont, and I can show you all the fluff in the world if you want to see it. I know of maybe three churches in the whole area that are solid. And I've visited a few. And one of them is the one we just started. It's founded on biblical doctrines, biblical theology, and how to reach people's hearts to change them for the glory of God. You understand, that's what biblical counseling does. People come to us with any problem you could imagine. And we take the time to listen to their story, to listen to their issues. If a woman comes, my wife counsels her. If a man comes, I counsel. If a couple comes for premarital counseling or marriage counseling or whatever the issues are, we both counsel together. I'm telling you, that works beautiful. Because sometimes we miss things, you know, in counseling. We can't. And when we have an extra person there that is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, you know, the possibility is a lot less that we're going to miss something, even though we still could. But look, biblical counseling is taking through the power of the Word of God. I'm going to give you guys these verses. Right? Hebrews 4:12. You want to write these down. These are foundational verses in biblical counseling. And then I'm going to make the statement that includes these verses. Hebrews 4:12, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, 2 Peter 1:3.
Whoa.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. 2 Peter 1:3, Isaiah 55:8 and 9.
Peter, what?
2 Peter 1:3, Hebrews 4:12, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, 2 Peter 1:3. And look, there are many others. It's just I use these all the times. Every counseling session I use these verses without exception. Because I go through the foundations of these verses before I do anything else in counseling. Because I want them to understand why they're here. Right? They're here because only the Word of God has the power to change their heart for His glory. That's why they're here. And they need to understand. I like to say it like this. The Word of God has the power to change their heart issues. And only the Word of God has the power to change their heart issues. And it has the power because of the Holy Spirit and because it's inspired by God. The Word of God is inspired, right? It's God-breathed. Every word in the Word of God is what God wanted written down. You understand that, right? God breathed out His Word to the Word of God, and the writers wrote it. Exactly what God wanted written down. So we have the power of the Word of God. We have the, and it's powerful because the Word of God is inspired by God. It's God's Word. And then in 2 Peter 1:3, it talks about that the Word of God is so effective, it has the ability to address every issue of life for godliness. That's what 2 Peter 1:3 says. Every issue they come with. I hope you're excited about this training. I'm excited to be here, Mike. I really am excited. And Mike knows that because I've asked him tons of questions already. So I'm learning the OIC materials, and I've already started working on one module, and I'm getting ready to start working on another. And my teaching is a little different, but hey, we're going to get through the material correctly. Thank you. God bless.
There's always a fear when you have a pastor speak that it's going to, you say, share a testimony, and you're thinking, okay, is this going to be a preachermony or a testimony? So, you done good, brother. You done good. So the question then becomes, so why? Like, why do we do this? Why do we counsel? And I think what we're going to see is that